Welcome to Vegas Dave's Dime.
Hello everyone, Vegas Dave Consolazio here. Thank you for joining me here on Vegas Dave's Dime. And I have to start with a recap of Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Finals. One of the greatest games in Stanley Cup Finals history. Detroit takes the 3-2 lead in the third period. They are in cruise control to win the Stanley Cup. The fans are all screaming, "We want the cup! We want the cup!" And it's about to become a reality. Time's ticking off the clock. They're polishing up the Stanley Cup in the back, ready to hand it out to the Detroit Red Wings. And with 34 seconds left in the game, Pittsburgh, frantically trying to keep their season alive, the goalie is pulled. It's complete chaos in Detroit's zone. With 34 seconds left, Pittsburgh's Maxime Talbot buries it to tie it up. And everyone in the stadium sits back down, because guess what? We're going to overtime. And playoff hockey overtime is second to none. I went over in my first episode where overtime is ranked in my mind, and I put basketball in the top tier with hockey. But in basketball, you just get an extra 5 minutes of basketball. In hockey, you drop the puck and play until someone scores. True sudden death. Equal to both sides. Both sides have equal opportunity. The puck is dropped at center ice, and you just go out there and decide a winner. And sometimes it takes a little while. And this game was one of those times. Evgeny Malkin feeds Peter Sikora for the game winner in the third overtime. And Pittsburgh wins it in the fifth longest game in Stanley Cup Finals history. And all of a sudden, we've got ourselves a series. I, like many other hockey fans, was writing this one off as finished. But now we're going to Game 6 in Pittsburgh. And isn't it fitting that I just called out Evgeny Malkin, and he gets the assist on the game-winning tally? If this wakes up Malkin, and we've got a rocking crowd in Game 6, don't look now, but this series might actually go to 7. And nothing in sports beats Game 7. The winner take all. Win or go home. The equivalent, of course, in the NFL, every game in the playoffs is sudden death. But the difference there is, when you only have one game, if the bounces don't go your way, if the calls don't go your way, the better team doesn't always win. I felt plenty of times, and it's obviously completely unrealistic for the NFL to go into a best of seven format. I'm not advocating that at all. But I'm saying plenty of times you see huge upsets in the playoffs that if there were a best of seven series, just would not take place. Because Team A could not lose to Team B 4 times in 7 games. That's why Game 7 is so great. Because these teams are proven to be that equal. They both took 3 games each. Now this series isn't necessarily going to 7. It could absolutely be ended in Pittsburgh. Detroit could win it. But don't look now. Because this Detroit-dominated series all of a sudden just got a little more interesting. And I'm excited to be a hockey fan. And I'm excited to be a baseball fan, too. And I don't want to make light of an injury. That's absolutely not what I'm trying to do here. But David Ortiz is heading to the DL with a partially torn tendon in his wrist. He'll be out at least a month. And if they opt for surgery, he'll be gone for the entire season. Now, to give you an idea of how important David Ortiz is to the Boston Red Sox, statistically, Ortiz entered today's games leading all major leaguers with 685 RBIs since the start of the 2003 season. No player in the game has had more RBIs since the beginning of the 2003 season. Even though he wasn't a full-time player at the start of that season, and he missed 34 games, he still leads everybody in RBIs. And he's third in home runs, behind only Alex Rodriguez, who has 227, and Albert Pujols, who has 225. Ortiz has 221. And I can't help but wonder if he could have popped a few more if he were a full-time player and played in, say, 30 of those 34 games. But it's irrelevant. Third, second, first. The point is, the guy can hit home runs and drive in runs. And more importantly than statistics, the guy affectionately named Big Pappy, on top of being one of the best clutch hitters in the game, is the heart and soul of the Boston Red Sox. He makes everyone around him better. And you talk about Manny Ramirez, and one of the reasons he's been so successful over the last few years has been the fact that he's been paired up with David Ortiz. And it's been a pick-your-poison situation. Now, with David Ortiz out, pitchers can pitch around Manny Ramirez and take their chances on someone else that isn't the best RBI producer over the last 5 years. Now, don't get me wrong. Boston still has plenty of talent. They've got Dustin Pedroia. They've got Jacoby Ellsbury. They've got Kevin Youkilis, on top of others. But losing David Ortiz is about as bad an injury as could happen to a team. And the reason why I started this little piece off by saying I'm excited to be a baseball fan is because people have been asking me about the Tampa Bay Devil Rays and whether or not I believe that they could actually win this division. They are, as of my recording this, on top of the division by a game and a half over Boston. And I've consistently said, let's give it more time. Let's not get carried away. But with Ortiz's injury, especially if he's out for the entire season, and the amount of damage that could do to Boston, you might just have to start believing that the Rays are going to be involved come the end of the season. They've got one of the best 1-2 punches in the game in Scott Kazmir and James Shields. Not on name recognition, but on flat pitching. And Matt Garza, Edwin Jackson, Andy Sonnenstein, all young guys that'll have their ups and downs, but are a good enough young staff to keep it close for their offense, which is very strong. Led by Carl Crawford, Evan Longoria, BJ Upton, just a talented bunch. And there is no reason why the Rays shouldn't be involved come the end of the season. Take a look at the Blue Jays. They have the best ERA in the majors. The Doc, Roy Halladay, is pitching out of his mind. He goes out there and pitches a complete game almost every game he pitches. AJ Burnett, Dustin McCowan, Sean Markham, Jesse Litch, not household names, but they've compiled the best ERA in the majors, and it's no fluke. They can all pitch. And I've always said that pitching wins championships. And let's be honest, the Yankees suck. They've got a ton of talent on offense, but their pitching staff is dreadful. They came into this year banking on Ian Kennedy and Phil Hughes being two dynamite young stars. And they did terribly while they were pitching, and now they're both on the DL. So you've got Andy Pettitte, who's over the hill. You've got Chenming Wong, consistent, solid pitcher, but not a true ace by any means. Mike Mussina, well past his prime. Daryl Rasner, who? You just added Jabba Chamberlain to the starting rotation, which should definitely be very exciting. But by adding him to the starting rotation, you took away the one thing you had any consistency in. And that was the fact that when you handed the ball to Jabba Chamberlain in the eighth, he would have a perfect eighth. And when you handed the ball to Mariano Rivera in the ninth, he'd have a perfect ninth. The Yankees had one thing going for them, and that was the fact that if they were winning after seven, they were going to win the game. By taking Jabba Chamberlain out of that role, you no longer have a true setup man in New York. If a pitcher goes out there and pitches six strong innings, it's going to be a roller coaster to get to Rivera in the ninth. And the Yankees' offense is great. And Boston still has plenty of great players. And this whole conversation could be for naught. But every year, you can't get excited about a team like Toronto or Tampa Bay because it's a foregone conclusion that when it's all said and done, the Yankees and the Red Sox will be the AL East and wild card winners. One will win the division and the other will win the wild card. And a team like Toronto or Tampa Bay, no matter how exciting, no matter how well they play, just doesn't have a chance. But for the first time in, I'd say, about 5 years, that's not a foregone conclusion. Boston and New York may very well end up being 1 and 2 in the AL East. But down the stretch, Tampa Bay and Toronto are going to be playing in games that matter. For the first time in 5 years, maybe more, if the division ends up going to Toronto or Tampa Bay, I wouldn't be shocked out of my mind. I would just nod my head and say, good for them. That's a good squad they've got. And it's just a good time to be a baseball fan, especially if you like rooting against the juggernaut teams. If you are a Yankee hater or a Red Sox hater, you're sick and tired of seeing them on ESPN for 52 minutes of the hour that is baseball tonight. Now's the time to jump on the let's beat the big guy bandwagon. Because Tampa Bay and Toronto both have a shot. And it should be a lot of fun to watch down the stretch. On that note, I'm going to wrap things up. As always, I would love feedback. You can email me at vegasdavesdime@gmail.com with any questions or comments. And thank you so much for listening. I always appreciate it. Have a good one, everybody.